extended. Wait a minute, file extended. And that was 16. Blog
Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and share our time with you. And it's always exciting. It's always, always exciting. And today, we were literally going to be talking about FEMA and not knowing that we were going to have this horrible, horrible disaster in Texas and surrounding states. The reason we were going to start talking about FEMA is because they're is set to expire September 30th, 2017, in a month. For those of you, well, FEMA is actually a Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance characterizes FEMA as a coordination agency that's main function is to assist from other federal government agencies help to prepare, prevent, deal with responses, and recover from domestic disasters. Those of you, you may know, in the real estate world, of course, we're used to flood insurance, which is under FEMA as well. There's the FEMA.gov is where you can go. So a lot has been going on, and with so many more natural disasters constantly happening all around our world, and we're dealing with the U.S. in this, with FEMA, it's important for those of us in the industry to stay on top of what's happening with FEMA. So we didn't plan this today. Today, we're going to talk a lot more about what's going on in Texas and surrounding states. And it's just ironic how this was scheduled. I was going to talk to you about FEMA because of the deadline and time's running out. And so without further ado, though, I want to turn it over to Randy.
Hey.
I'm so thrilled to be doing the show with again. And, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well here in California. We're, we're kind of watching in horror at all of the horrific devastation going on in Texas and primarily it seems like Houston and kind of glued to the tube as, in my phone and updates and stuff like everybody else watching this thing and just amazed that, people's homes are underwater, literally. You know, you talk in the real estate business about, are you underwater in your home, right, in your mortgage, or whatever. But literally right now these homes are underwater and cars are, gone and just like that. And it's interesting, that you were going to talk about FEMA prior to this happening, and then with this going on, we decided to reach out to some folks that we know in the Houston area, and hopefully here in the next probably looks like about 10 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Deborah Wittig. She's an author and speaker in the Houston area, and last night in a text she said that the last week, has been a blur. She didn't even know what day it was. In fact, I talked to her a couple days ago about being on the show and kind of calling in and letting us know what's going on. And she literally texted back, Natalie, the same day and asked if she had missed the show. She didn't know. It's like, where she was. Yeah, she's so tired, so worn out, thinking a day had gone by already, because it's all just kind of blending together. But it's just crazy, and so our hearts are broken. And by the way, if you want to help, obviously, if you watched the TV reports, you've seen people you know, thousands upon thousands showing up at like convention centers and just anywhere that's a civic area. Churches, Joel Osteen's church, I know in Houston, Lakewood, they're opened their doors. And if you want to help, there's a link on our Facebook page, the Realty Universal Radio on Facebook. You just go there and there's a link where you can help by donating to, in this case, Convoy of Hope. And they are just sending tons and tons and tons of food to the area and workers as well. So Convoy of Hope has kind of become this amazing group of people who show up at places like this and help. And, of course, there's all kinds of other great organizations there. But Convoy of Hope, if you want bang for your buck in terms of money actually going to the, you know, to the folks, because – Convoy of Hope is really one of the top ones in terms of being rated as.
That's important.
You know,
that's important.
Yeah.
You know, to know it really goes where it's supposed to be. That's,
yeah.
This is just, it is, it's mind-boggling. It's unbelievable. You and I were talking briefly right before the show, and you said that it seems like it's going to, the extent is going to even be larger than Katrina, the after effects. And
yeah, somebody, I heard a newscaster last night saying that when this is all said and done, if it continues to rain like it has, and I'm actually looking at a news page right now, because I know last night they were talking about a bunch of levees breaking, just like in New Orleans with Katrina. I mean, there's so much water that these levees, you know, weren't built to hold them back. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they were saying
just...
this when it's. They were saying when it was all said and done that that this could be, in terms of dollars, in terms of, you know, devastation, you know, worse than Katrina. So that's
I have
amazing.
I have to tell you, my hat's off to Texas. So I have heard. My mother lived in Houston for a couple years back in the early 80s, and I've been there, you know, several times, but mostly on trips, business trips and other trips. I've always heard about how they say Texans, truly, we help each other. I've heard them from many people that live in Texas. We help each other. We look out for each other. We do the, you know how they say it takes a village to raise a child. We really look out for our neighbors. We talk to people. We say hi. We mean it. And, boy, you're really seeing it here, you know, people going out and rescuing people that aren't part of the rescue queue, you know, with their own boats and their jet skis. And it's just amazing and incredible the efforts that everyday people are doing, you know, that sometimes you don't see that. Sometimes you only see people waiting for the rescued people to come out. And FEMA says they have... more than 12,400 employees from over 17 federal departments and agencies, in addition to FEMA, of course, are working together to support the damage resulting in Hurricane Harvey and overseeing it. My hat's off to President Trump, because a true leader has to go, okay, what do we have to do? We got to look at the big picture. Where do we check? I mean, they had engineers checking to see the levees and bridges and what they could do and calculate how much water do we let out, how much do we not let out. It's just to see everybody working in the American spirit, you know, putting behind like all the stuff that's been going on the last months, you know, with all the protests and everything. It's just, it's pray that more and more lives are saved. Looking here, it said FEMA has more than 1,100 urban search and rescue personnel working to save lives in Texas, conducting rescues for over 2,500 survivors too. People are displaced, and you know, I'm watching the news. You see this one woman with her three children. We're saying, we'll be okay. You know, we have each other. We're alive. We're okay. You know, even though they've lost everything, they don't have anything but the clothes on their back. You know, and it just, I think. I don't want to, you know, it's just unbelievable. I see something about USCG has conducted rescues for more than 4,200 survivors and over 1,000 pets. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, they're saying 30,000 to 40,000 homes have been destroyed. And like you said, thousands of people are still stranded waiting for this thing to end. It looks like there's another landfall. Harvey is actually circling back out and coming back again. This morning at 4 a.m. it hit, and then it's like it's going back out and then coming back. It's just this bizarre kind of pattern where it just usually they hit and then keep going. And this seems to be hitting and circling back and coming back again, which is crazy. Which, again, you start talking about supernatural stuff and you're like, what is going on there? You know, what is
kind of wild when you read Revelations, how it's all in there, and people say, you know, funny things about, we were talking a little bit about that before, about for people that don't ever read or learn that get frustrated with you if you bring it up, you know, and it's like it's hocus pocus, and it's not, and it's just, you know, I don't think this is just, global warming, and of course the earth is getting warmer and things are, you know, shifting, but it's really happening constantly all over the world, isn't it? All over the world.
Yeah. And now FEMA, you always hear about FEMA, right, when these disasters hit. Federal, what, emergency something, federal emergency, I guess. It's that department that gets activated, and I guess national,
right,
federal and state
rescue
levels.
It's a rescue center. It's actually put out.
And
it's
was
a,
there
an agency, actually.
You're saying that possibly there was talk of it being over,
so
like the funding running out?
It's supposed to expire September 30th, this month, in a month. And Congress was putting out, they're trying to put into a go ahead and extend it for 10 years. I'm trying to find if it was extended or not. That's the one thing now about, I have to, because I know in August they were looking at it and then everybody went on vacation. Let me see. Well, went all, took off. So I was trying to find if it definitely got extended, because I know NAR, National Association of Realtors, has been pushing, which we all belong to make sure that we put the word out as well. It's really needed, because we had like in October, it was October of 2014 or 13 or 14, I've got a check, they, FEMA changed their maps. And flood insurance, if you had to get new flood insurance, went up dramatically compared to where it was before, and they had a clause in place that if you were a current homeowner, they wouldn't raise your rates. Of course, if you let your rates expire, then it would, you know, so if you didn't pay or you let it expire for a month, you were going to take the new rates. So this was, all of FEMA was needed to be extended, and that's what they're in the process of doing. So it's really, really important. And I, you know, what I was mentioning about Google, it's frustrating. Google, to me, I used to love it, but it's frustrating in the way that the search engines and everything are now, because you get so much information that always can be misinformation. You know, it's not structured the same way as it used to be. Everything's changing, Randy. I mean, you have to really go in and do your due diligence on every single thing. It's not a quick lookup anymore like we used to be able to do. I'm going to, and FEMA, you can go to FEMA.gov. And get a lot of information about a lot of information. I was looking for to see, because I'm sure with all this going on, they're going to extend it. But I just wanted to see if it had just been extended, and I can't seem to find the details. I tell you, it's one thing though. Is okay now. FEMA, when you if you have to see if your insurance will cover anything before it has to be declined by your insurance before they jump in. And the flood insurance, many people aren't going to have it now in Texas and Louisiana and these surrounding states. There's a lot of areas that are flooded that are not considered floodplains. So there's many, many people that are not going to be able to utilize this insurance that they would normally utilize with flood insurance. So it's going to be interesting to see what emergency laws may come into effect, what different organizations and groups are going to be able to go in to do funding for this. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing a lot of just GoFund campaigns and other, that because there's just, it's going to be so massive. And then when there's areas that aren't covering it, I'm just going to see, you know, we'll see what the government does and who steps in and does what, which we, you know, one thing we can say with living in the United States of America, the government does step in quite a lot. I don't think we're going to see what happened to the level of what happened in Katrina. I really don't. I just feel, you know, I could be wrong, but I really doubt it.
So as a realtor now in this area, I mean, so what about realtors? Just as we're waiting now for Deborah Wittig to join us live from Houston, realtors there are scrambling, right? Because they probably have people calling them, you know, clients,
you know,
and people they've sold homes to, saying, "Hey, I might need another house," or
you know,
"Is there a rental?"
I think I think like what you said with being in the blur, you know, and our guest coming on to being in a blur, a fog. I think that's going to happen. You know, it'll subsequently happen, people having to move. A lot of people, you know, they're going to start – some people may not have anything more than the shirt off their back. They may not be in a position to even think about that for a while. They're going to be looking for a rental shelter. But with we have about 40,000 homes a month that are sold in floodplains around the United States. It's quite a lot of homes. And, again, as I was just mentioning, we didn't there's a lot of areas that have just been affected in right now with that aren't even considered floodplains that are flooded. So,
Well, again, Realty Universal Radio, the program, and if you want to give to Hurricane Harvey, you can do that. A lot of places, of course. One of the places is Realty Universal Radio Facebook page. There's a link there to Convoy of Hope. Deborah Wittig joins us from Houston. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, thank you for coming on. I know you must be exhausted.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel kind of rested now that I finally got to my daughter's house. So exhausted probably isn't the word. Emotional, that would be a good word for where I am right now. So and kind of waiting to get in. Right now the floodwaters have not receded enough to even see what the damage is to my house. I just know that there was a foot in it when I left. So
there was a
foot. It continued to rain. There was a foot as of Sunday. We've had a lot of rain since then. So I honestly don't know if we're going to go back and find out that it's come up another 3 feet. I don't know.
Wow. So I mean, is there a, and is, I guess, you know, again, nobody can answer this, but I mean, the question that comes to mind is a foot to 2 to 3 to 4 feet. I mean, so it's not underwater in terms of like totally, but it could be such that they would declare it, you know, that you couldn't fix it, that it was at that point lost in terms of totaled, I guess would be the word. Is there that possibility?
I wouldn't think that for the house itself. I mean, there may be some furnishings, you know, some furniture, some things on the floor. I mean, if I had books on the floor, then those are gone, you know, you know, paper stuff. My understanding,
that laptop.
I've been kind of researching all of this. Yeah, well, I took that with me. but go cut out the sheetrock, you know. You cut out the sheetrock and you put the Clorox and whatever on the studs so they won't get that nasty black mold going on there. And there's a lot of work. We just don't, you know, my husband's actually going to wade his way in there. The water's still too high. We can't get in there. Now, our house sits up higher, but when we went halfway to our driveway to get on the boat to get out, the water was up to my waist.
Wow.
And I climbed in the boat holding the grandkids. Let's go. We got to get out of here.
Wow.
Thank God you're.
So, it's been an adventure. but, you know,
so Sunday you evacuated? Was it Sunday, Deborah,
morning.
That you evacuated?
I'm pretty sure.
Sunday morning.
I think it was Sunday. I think I told you in the message that it's like this has been one big long day since Saturday. just watching the water, thinking, okay, this place was dry during Allison. It shouldn't flood. It's flooding. Oh no! You know, it's like okay, well, this is really bad. So we gathered up our stuff and grabbed the kids. You know.
Grandkids were with you.
What day. They were. My daughter worked lockdown down at the hospital in Texas City, which means she's there until this whole thing is over. Sleeping there, eating there, I mean, just there the whole time. And so I had the grandkids while she's down there helping. And as it turned out, that hospital stayed open when many of the other ones around had to evacuate. They were sending patients down there to where she was. So bless her heart, she's been exhausted too.
And that hospital is up above higher ground, or what's the situation with that
Apparently,
hospital?
Apparently, it didn't sound like Texas City really got hit very badly with this. It's kind of interesting because that's, you know, partway between where I live and Galveston Island. You know, I would have thought that they would have had a lot of flooding, but they're not the ones that received all the alerts. It was, you know, Dickinson, which is a little bit north of that, areas where we were, got hit pretty hard.
Wow.
But they seem to be okay. Their parking lot was wet. She thinks we loaned her a car. It's probably the only car we have amongst us all that didn't get flooded. She parked it in a way that maybe it would be okay. But, you know.
Wow. So. Deborah Wittig is on the phone with us live from Houston. And, you know, as I'm reading these reports, is it true that essentially, rather than just coming to land and then passing through, this thing is like hitting land, circling out, and coming back? Is that what's going on?
It's done some crazy stuff, yes. And it lingered. It would get stationary and lingered. So imagine massive, severe storms, you know, that dump the buckets of rain at a time, just sitting there for several days. And we had, at one point, looking at the forecast, 4 days in a row, 100% chance of flooding rain. Not sprinkles, not light rain. They said flooding rain, and they meant it. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was just amazing to see, you know.
And so you guys, just walk us through a little bit of this, just because I can only, I mean, as I think through, you know, let's see. For instance, the only thing I can relate to is, Natalie, I've been, you know, through some of the tsunami warnings when we lived in Hawaii where, you know, if you live near the coast, you hear the alarm go off.
Right.
And there's a part of you that goes, really, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Am I going to really, is this for real? And you end up, you know, having people knock on the door, like, you know, federal or police saying, hey, you guys got to go. Is that kind of what happened with you guys? When they say forced or mandatory evacuation, Deborah, did they come and say, you guys got to get out of here? Or did you just decide at one point, yeah, we got to go?
We decided. It's funny, as much damage was done in our town, they never did a mandatory evacuation. And yet our town, I mean, I had to get back out. My daughter's house was only 3 miles from where my house is. But we were divided by one creek. It was just a creek, just a little creek. But that creek crossed another creek, and they became just this huge lake. And so I couldn't get to our house without a boat. In fact, the two main entrances into Friendswood, they were just covered in water. So these guys brought out their flat-bottom boats, and they were ferrying people back and forth. You know, they'd go out and rescue people, and they'd ferry them, you know, if they had a place to go. So that's what we ended up having to do, is kind of coordinate with some people and get out that way.
So that was private citizens doing that, or was it first rescue or with the boat?
Most of it was private citizens. In our own neighborhood, this is kind of ironic and funny, and I just thank God's hand there. Our neighbor across the street brought his boat home to protect it from the storm.
Wow.
Kind of ironic. So I was sitting there, and I looked out there, and it's flooding. The street is already a river in front of our house, and I said, dude, Giordano's, they've got a boat. Craig says, yeah, I'm going to go talk
to
Roy. And so they used that boat. They got us out of there, some other neighbors, and then Craig and Roy and I don't know who else went back out to go pick up other people and, you know, get them to enough dry land to walk to the shelter, which for us, the shelter was only a half mile, so it wasn't bad. It was private citizens. They just, we've got a boat, let's go use it. And I was overwhelmed with how wonderful people were. I mean, they came out. I know how hard the streets were to get through, and yet in the place that was being used for a shelter where we were, people brought food, and they brought clothes, and they brought all kinds of things. Wow. And good food. They fed us well. I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, we're sitting here in shock. We haven't even figured out yet what has happened to us. It just hasn't sunk in. And, you know, they were really taking good care. So it's just private citizens, you know.
We were just mentioning that before, that I've always heard, my mother had lived in Texas for a couple years ago, and I've traveled there on business and other, but not, and I've heard so many people from Texas constantly, even at the airport a month ago. So we're from Texas. We talk, we help our neighbors, we do things, it really stands out that, you know, that's a pretty common theme in Texas, right, where everybody helps each other. It's just amazing to me.
It really is. I mean, we rode with strangers. I mean, to get us home, there were several people that tried to come get us, and they couldn't. The roads were just, they're covered in water, and they could not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to coordinate it, and finally somebody did. She was able to kind of arrange it. So we had different people. Well, hey, I've got a truck. I can get you to the place where the boat is. And then somebody else said, well, okay, I can take you from the boat to here. But, they just coordinated, and just total strangers helped us get here. Mm-hmm. You know, and one guy, and I was, you know, we got off the boat, we're just soaked. It was raining. You know, I have my grandson is still a baby, so he's soaked. We're all soaked, got the dog, everything. And we're thinking, okay, we've got to walk to meet the other car because he's not going to be able to make it because there's still too much water in the road. And this other truck pulled up and said, well, hey, I will help you. Here's some towels.
Wow.
They had towels. They carried towels. Here, dry yourself off. Get warm. Get in the truck and get warm.
Wow.
I thought, wow. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I was just floored with the kindness that was out there. So.
Yeah. Deborah
this
Wittig.
This is the America I know, right?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, yeah, you bet. You bet. In the middle of, in the eye of the storm, as it were, that song, of course, Ryan Stevenson's pretty popular on the radio, Christian radio right now, and man, you guys are literally in the eye of the storm. Deborah Wittig with us live from Houston and talking about her, what she's experienced there, and got a couple more minutes, a few more minutes with her, about five. So you guys, just again, I'm trying to walk through the last couple days. So Sunday you leave, you get to the shelter at some point Sunday, and you've been in the you were in the shelter then for a day or two, and then got to your relative's home. Is that
until yesterday?
Okay.
Until yesterday, yes. Yesterday,
you were in the shelter.
Yeah, somebody finally arranged for us a boat passage. We got boat passage.
Boat passage
across
the
creek.
How'd you get there?
Creek
wow.
That turned raging river.
Wow.
So we finally got.
So they're letting people
last night.
They were letting people go then. I mean, even though, so this, I'm just envisioning this rushing river of that used to be a street, and they're letting people, you know, at some point, again, a private citizen, somebody has a boat, and like, hey, we want to take you to your relative's house. I mean, is that what happens? That's pretty crazy if
something
you think
along,
about it. I mean,
along the lines, somebody who knows somebody. I sat there looking on the corner because it's a couple of somewhat major streets in our town, you know, covered in water, and I thought boat brigade. All of these different people coming in with their big pickup trucks, and they had their boat, and they're just putting them out in the water. There were numerous boats out there. It wasn't just one. I mean, all these guys had boats and their big old trucks, and they, you know, eased them down to the water, got the thing off, and okay, hey, are you needing a ride? Let's, you know, let's get you here. That's what they were doing. You know, these guys are just pouring out and pouring out. It's raining. It's yucky. You know, the water was kind of dangerous at some points just because the direction it was flowing. And they said they were a little bit worried about it. It's like, I hope our engine's strong enough to get past this because it's flowing really hard.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just mind-blowing, the water that was there. But I'm so thankful for the kindness. I mean, that's just honestly made this whole thing easier, you know, to deal with. And I'm sure that's the case for lots of other people.
And, I know just from a faith perspective, right, do you find yourself kind of vacillating between, I guess, you know, pardon the pun, you're all on the same boat, right? So many people have got this situation where I guess it's hard not to feel like woe is me in some respect, but on the other hand, you know, everybody is facing that, hey, do I have a house when I get back, or to what extent is the damage? And
true.
You find yourself
honestly,
able to say, okay,
that.
Lord, what's that?
He's faithful. But, you know,
this
year for me has been a very tough year for totally different reasons. So this is just one of those things. And what I've been saying all year, God is faithful. I don't understand this, you know, but I'm not going to allow myself to get into the self-pity thing. He's going to work it out. Somehow it's going to work out maybe better than before. So you just have to choose. You have to choose the faith. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, we still cry, but we choose faith.
That's it. You still cry. It's important what you just said. It's okay to feel that, you know, that kind of
hurt. I'm going to grieve the loss, and that doesn't reflect on
my
faith at all. I have strong faith, but I have those emotions, and it allows me to release all the tension and everything that's going on because of, well, everything that's going on, right? So it's all good.
It's all good. It's all good.
It
I was reading the other day.
Work it out.
I was reading the other day the story of Horatio Spafford, the guy that wrote "It Is Well with My Soul."
Oh,
and
yeah.
1870, he lost his son to fever. 1871, lost all of his financial empire in the Great Chicago Fire. Sent his wife and daughters on a ship to London. He was going to join them on a vacation. That ship to London crashed with another ship. He lost his four daughters at sea. And he, on his way to meet his wife, he got his wife, they were coming back to America on the boat, and at the direct spot where his daughters drowned, he wrote the words to "It Is Well With My Soul." Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that just says it all. Like you said, you can feel the pain, and then you just know that the bottom line is, it is well with my soul. And that's not denial. That's just saying that you trust God. And yeah.
That's it.
And we're still human.
That's
we have
it.
The emotions. You know, we have the emotions. And
yeah.
Cargill, but it doesn't make it easier except the faith. Because, oh, gosh. Whew. It's like right now, it's really one day at a time, isn't it? Literally.
It is. Waiting to see, you know, when we get back, what are we looking at? You know, did 3 more feet of water come in? What are we going to do? I mean, I mentally, I think I know what I'm in for, but I'm sure that I don't because I've never done it before. You know,
right.
But I'm in it with my neighbors because we were all in the shelter together, all our neighbors. And that's a blessing because we've really gotten to know each other because we're hanging out together, sleeping in the same room, eating together. So as neighbors, we'll be a lot closer. We'll all be commiserating as we're bringing out our broken stuff and putting it at the curb, you know. So we're in it together, and that's a comfort too, knowing we're not the only ones dealing with this.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Boy, that's a great perspective because you're right. Otherwise, this is one of those silver linings. You might not have gotten to know them, and it's a way to minister to them. Maybe if they don't really have a faith they can rely on or strengthen each other. And man, so is the. I haven't seen the latest update, but my understanding is there's one more landfall this afternoon, and then it starts to recede, and maybe tomorrow or the next day you can go to your house. What do you think? What are they saying?
I don't know. We have not had rain today. You know, it's like, I see a little bit of blue in the sky.
Oh,
wow, you know, gorgeous.
Wow.
So we've not had rain,
good.
So I expect it just to continue to recede. I think it's the people east of us now that are getting hammered really badly.
Mm.
I think this storm took the entire Texas coast, you know, starting with a Category 4 in Rockport, bless those people, and then just went up the coast. So it's ravaged.
Wow.
I mean, Houston's the town everybody knows, but it's been the entire coast, and Rockport just obliterated because of that Category 4. So.
Well, it sounds like, so maybe, yeah, maybe here in the next day or two, you can, if it stops raining, you guys can head out there. So, Deborah Whittig has been with us, and man, oh man, Deborah, we are just it's heartbreaking. I mean, it's heartbreaking to watch, and I'm reading some of these reports of, you know, initially there were very few fatalities, but there are a lot of people missing. And when you talked about you with your grandson, you know, your grandkids, I was just scrolling a news story on ABC.com of a child who was clinging, you know, to the corpse of her mother.
Oh, no.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, as they found her, she was alive. That's the kind of thing, you know, that I mean, probably doesn't make it to TV because that's just crazy sad.
It's made it to social media,
but,
though, because I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen that. You know, and I see stuff like that and think, you know, I don't have that many problems. My family's
right.
You know, and not everybody can say that. Yeah,
right.
Not everybody can say that.
Well, that water, those floods are kind of like deceptive, aren't they? You can look at it and go, hey, I can make this across. And like that police officer yesterday, I guess, was going to work yesterday morning, right? And he thought he could get across or whatever and was just rushed away. It was just so powerful and it was deceptive and he died.
Yeah, I don't think they realize the current.
Yeah.
I was shocked at the current. I'm just thinking it's water, you know, like a pond, just water sitting there. It's not. There's a current. It's all flowing down toward the Gulf. So the water was actually flowing. And even, you know, even when we got in the boat from my house, because the water was so deep just, you know, just near the street, that I was shocked how I felt that movement. My goodness, I'm glad we're holding the kids. We put life jackets on them just in case, you know, and holding them tight to make sure that we got on that boat safely with them. So.
Right.
And then,
yeah,
right.
It's dangerous.
That's so crazy. Well, and Craig is where? Your husband is where? Is he with you? right?
Not at the moment, but yes, he's with me in
no?
general.
he's actually
venturing out to the house today. He's got a friend's going to take him as far as they can, and then they're going to walk through the water and try to see what's going on and what's there. So,
okay.
Well,
yeah,
is
the water
is
somewhat.
It, they can go back now? I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Kind of. I mean, he's got to slog through some water to get there. I'm guessing probably at this point my house probably doesn't have water in it anymore. It's probably receded to that point, but the streets are still so full that you can't get a vehicle in there. So walking along, if right in front of people's houses where it's just a little bit higher, he'll walk along there and go check it out to see, what's there. I think there was something he was going to try to retrieve. So we will see.
Well, the electricity and all that, I guess I don't know how that, I know it's probably the power is out everywhere, I would imagine.
Well, the power was
right?
out long before the flood hit. We were without power for quite a while before it ever got to that point. So I would imagine, I would hope that they have it turned off. I mean, all these houses were submerged in water.
I mean, that's important for people to check every little detail, because you never know.
Yeah.
They never know if something, who knows, right? I mean, just there, something could have, gosh, it's so hard. It's,
Now, are the grandkids with you still in the shelter? Or no, you're back at the house now.
I'm at their house, yes.
These are
my daughter's house. These are her kids, so they're in their own beds.
Okay.
So
nice.
They are
good.
A whole lot more relaxed. Of course, they did good. They were so good. They had a good time. They felt like all those people in that shelter were there for them, their friends to play with them. So they had a great time, and I'm thankful that it wasn't traumatic from their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a party to them, just something different, and we tried our best just to stay strong in front of them so they didn't, get all upset if we're sitting there crying like, oh, my gosh, what's happened?
Right.
We had to stay strong for them.
How old are they?
Arden is 18 months, and my granddaughter's 5.
Mm.
And my granddaughter has no fear. She talks to everybody. So she had a ball. So it was good.
Wow.
It was okay. But, yeah, good to have them back home. And my daughter's happy that they were home, too. So.
Well, that's so good to hear. I mean, at least that everybody's safe. And we'll just, we'll just be praying that somehow the damage is minimized, and you're right. I can only imagine the emotional roller coaster, that returning will be, and being away, having to leave, was, just. So we will be praying with you and for you and for Craig today as he heads back, and thank you again for. Thanks for taking the time to just share with us what you experienced, and I love what you said about. That God's got this, and I can tell in your voice, you mean it. Some people say it, and they're trying to mean it, and I can tell because I know we've talked this year as well about other stuff you've been through, and it's like, in some ways this is not as tough as some of the other things you're going through, and so God,
that
verse comes to mind, count it all joy when we encounter trouble. Right? Count it joy because it increases our faith. It strengthens us. And that's so counterintuitive, such an upside-down kingdom.
Absolutely.
That we're supposed to be excited about this kind of stuff. But, God, man, I love that you are able in the midst of this to communicate that to people. That's important. So, well, bless you, Deborah. Thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. We lift you up in prayer get through all this. And
Wow. Deborah Wittig, author, speaker, a friend of Monica and I, that we actually have done a couple events together at one point in California. She came out and spoke at one of our marriage events, and she's just amazing. Her and her husband are amazing, and I think, like I said, I think she's the one to be able to put it in perspective, clearly that God's got this. And I can't imagine, the emotion of leaving and a home you own. I mean, I'm in a rental right now. It would not be as emotional other than the stuff that I own inside that might, be gone. But I think that to leave a home that you own and your stuff, and then now facing going back and Good news is it's sunny in Houston today, or at least some blue skies, she said. So that's cool. Very, very cool. You're listening to Realty Universal Radio, and Randy Zachary, my name, Natalie Mullinex, her name, and this is a show normally about in real estate, which we've talked about at the top a little bit in terms of we were talking about FEMA, which right. is pretty appropriate for now, and we were just talking to Deborah Wittig, who's live in Houston, and awaiting Copelia, a friend to join us as well, a radio personality there in Houston. Looking for her call here in just a moment and kind of get her thoughts, her perspective. Again, I was watching a little bit of a video Facebook Live thing on her Facebook page yesterday, and it was kind of showing again her and their kids and her husband and the fact that they're all okay. But letting people know, you know, friends around the country and stuff and family that they're okay, but also like Deborah, displaced, and we're in the shelter for a while, and then have gotten to a family member's home as well. But there was a point yesterday. Literally, I was I can see her doing this because she's kind of a social media maven, if you will. I mean, I can see her tweeting and texting and Facebook posting while she's in the middle of this storm. But she was literally saying that, you know, they were on this boat and nobody knew which way to go. And there were several boats in the area that they were all asking each other, do you know which way to go to get to the shelter? You know, the guys that were had the boats were confused. I guess it was a particularly stormy, you know, part of the day. And there was just this real kind of scary moment. And she's tweeting and Facebooking away, which is par for the course, you know, I think, for someone who's a social yeah. media type. But wow. Well,
we're always reporting. We're always reporting. Well, it looks like the flood insurance program, that's a big, going to be a biggie to make sure that it's renewed, you know, that it's definitely renewed also. And but again,
yeah.
there's many areas that were affected that weren't aren't considered flood zones. It's just,
yeah.
It's
crazy.
It's really, I think it's times like this that you look at all that stuff that's been going on around the country with the protesting and the peaceful protesting is one thing, but the violent protesting.
Yeah.
And then you hear and see how people are coming together in Texas and the surrounding states right now, what it's all about, right? It's not about the,
yeah.
and when it comes to life and death, and let's save each other. I hope when you look at the that with the United States, we're still a really strong country and such a melting pot, you know, that we
yeah.
get to see this
yeah.
firsthand. We get to see this firsthand. Does it matter who the person is, what they do, where they are? No, not at all. It matters to save a life, you know. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Hi, it looks like, and I'm just checking, double-checking. Deborah, is that still you on the line?
I'm still on the line, yes.
Oh,
awesome.
That is you, okay. I was wondering if that was Copelia that popped in there, but because
awesome.
I didn't write
glad
down
you're
your number.
Still on.
You're still there. Good. Yeah, I think you're familiar with Copelia, right? Because you listen to Christian radio there and stuff, and I think she was on in KSBJ for a while. She did the morning
somewhat.
Show, I guess, there.
Right, right.
KSBJ. Yeah, so anyway, we're awaiting her call and stuff. And okay, well, cool. I didn't mean to bother you. I know you're just on listening now, but I just wanted to double-check that that wasn't Copelia waiting to get on. anything else you wanted to add or that occurred to you while you were hanging out? Any new exciting?
Nope, just
okay.
Yeah, I think, they talk about in floods and thing, you know, like you had mentioned before, they talk about be careful because people can, you know, you think it's just a little couple foot of water and your vehicle can just go down
mm-hmm.
and not come back. And so many different things to be
yeah.
careful of. And I think electricity is a biggie to make sure, you know, that the electric isn't on. I think sometimes people think it's off and it's on. So hopefully I would think that maybe the main lines are being shut down or they've already been out, the power
yeah.
went out, it's not fixed. That's not the first priority right now. It's saving lives. But you never know what could be, you know, still going, right? And that's
well, yeah, because
so
they
important.
Need power.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want to see anyone get electrocuted.
Segments,
you know, what I mean? I'd hate to see anybody get electrocuted, or generators, or we always think, well, come, of course they did that, of course they turned that off. Well, no, it doesn't always happen. I remember being in my son and I were flying to Hawaii back in the early 90s, and or maybe it was the mid or late. I can't, don't quote me exactly the date, but we TWA had an outage, and there was a hub around Lexington City, and literally, I mean, it was a pretty big deal, and it made the USA Today, and everybody was, this is pre-9/11, so people weren't thinking terrorists, but we were going, what's really going on, and come to find out, a gentleman had just pulled the wrong plug, and that literally messed up all the radar. So I'm just saying that dot our I's and cross our T's, little things that, okay, of course there's no power. We'll double check anyhow. Turn that off. Turn that thing on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. I think it's just because you hear a lot of times of accidents in these major storms and major things that are the secondary things where people die from, just like mosquitoes, and bad water and things like that. So,
Wow. Crazy.
A lot
again,
to
you're listening to Realty Universal Radio, and Randy Zachary, my name, and Natalie Mullenix with us. And again, if you want to help Hurricane Harvey relief efforts, and as you've watched TV and you see just the thousands of people like Deborah and her family and others who literally found their way to shelters, there is a huge need for food and blankets and all kinds of things that you might imagine people need on a daily basis, and you can do that. You can go to our Facebook page. Lots of places to go, but if you want to jump on Realty Universal Radio on Facebook, there's a link there to Convoy of Hope, and they will there you can make a donation. And again, Convoy of Hope, in terms of bang for the buck, they're usually way, way up there in the top, I think, two or three, like those kind of relief organizations where the most money goes to the actual people. A lot of times, there's a wide range of administrative costs, which are real costs, and then Convoy of Hope, really, most of the money goes to the relief efforts and gets there to the need on the ground, as it were. So, again, you can go to Realty Universal Radio on Facebook, and there's a link right there. So check in the news. I'm sorry, I got to hang on a sec. I'm getting a – check in the news thing. I noticed that, as you said, there are people who one of the biggest – causes of death, it seems like, are people driving into water areas thinking that they can plow through, So, well, it looks like I think we've got another call. Let's go to the line here and see. I think it may be Copelia. Hey, who's this?
It is Copelia. Hi, guys.
Copelia,
hey,
how are you
doing?
I'm doing well. It sounds echoey because I'm going up the stairs in our friend's house. We got evacuated. We are to the north of Houston in an area called Kingwood that, according to the news, was one of the worst hits, unfortunately.
Wow. So you guys, now, let's walk through. We did this with Deborah, our previous guest, and just, were you guys evacuated? Was it mandatory? Did you just decide to go? And what day was that you left your home?
So, that's funny that you ask which day. The days have blurred.
I want to
say, I started a blog. So this would be day three, according to my blog. I'm trying to do like a little diary.
Right.
So what, because, it's just going to blur. So what happened was Houston floods. Everybody knows that. So we are in an area that we had seen a little bit of flooding last year. They call them the Memorial Day floods. And we figured, if it gets like catastrophic, it's not going to be that bad. If it goes up like to half of what it went to or to double, it really wasn't even up to our garage. We'll be fine. So we live in an apartment complex. We have our garage on the first floor and the apartments on the second story. So we're thinking, even if the garage gets water, we'll be fine. So we were there, and I think the hurricane hit hardest on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Woke up Sunday, and we woke up to flooding. My 11-year-old son was like, Mom, it's really flooding outside.
Oh.
So my husband went outside. Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, that looks kind of worse than what we expected. And that was just the beginning of it. So trying to make the long story short, my husband went outside, and I kind of waited. He went around, helped some neighbors, came back and said, I just talked to Memphis Coast Guard, which already I'm like, okay, what did Memphis Coast Guard say? You know, we're talking about people from Tennessee that are deployed to help Houston. So we're, you know, that already speaks volumes. And he said, they are encouraging us to leave. At that point, it was a voluntary evacuation.
Wow.
What really made us leave at that point was the fact that the Coast Guard guys were saying, leave. They highly were encouraging people to leave. And they said, if there's an emergency, because of the water and power not being out at that point, there was a high probability of fire, which doesn't make sense in flooding. But they said if there was an electric whatever fire situation, we would not be able to get to you for days.
Oh.
So we were like, we're getting our bags and we're getting in the boat. So everybody out, you know. And it was crazy. My husband helped evacuate a days old baby from our neighborhood.
Oh, God.
We have... My parents lived across the street in another apartment complex, and my 86-year-old grandmother ended up leaving on another Coast Guard boat a little bit later. They thought they were going to ride it out as well. It got so bad for them that it wasn't just Coast Guard rescue. The Coast Guard boat took them to an Army truck. I mean, I'm saying this out loud, and it sounds like a movie.
Wow.
Like, we literally just went through this. It's completely surreal.
Oh, my.
So you got to a shelter. The boat took you to a shelter.
Thankfully, the Coast Guard boat, well, not quite. We didn't quite make it to the shelter. That was one of the possibilities because we didn't know where we were going to go. So thankfully, the Coast Guard boat took us to one kind of a bank that was serving as a meeting point for people that were getting rescued that was kind of on higher ground. From there, neighbors, like random neighbors who happened to have boats, came around and they said, hey, do you guys need us to take you further? So we literally got into some random person's boat with our other friends, their little one-year-old and their dog in this aluminum boat, you know, and these people were just helping. All these neighbors were out with their boat saying, where can we take you? So they basically took us down what is funny. It's Westlake Houston. So we literally were... Westlake Houston. So we're going down Westlake Houston where we usually drive, but on this boat.
Yeah.
So we're all the way down until the water started receding to another kind of dry point. And people were coming through with pickup trucks saying, where can we take you? So at that point, the information was being shared in terms of where were the churches that had shelters open. There were three churches within the area that were shelters. And thankfully, at that point, we still had our cell phones. So we were able to connect with friends, and we had two friends offer to bring us into their home. So that's where we ended up, at one of our friends' homes. Crazy.
Yeah, I was following you yesterday.
When that happened. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. I was just asking what happens that you're leaving, and it's not mandatory, but you know you better because it's going to be mandatory, and you just you just grab your. Your laptop, your phone, your belongings. What do you think at that moment?
Yeah, that was a good. That's a very good question because they always say, you know, if you could leave your house, you know, in a fire, what do you take? And my answer to that was always my photo album. And the problem was that we had already taken out bags because a day or two before, I was telling my husband, why don't we leave before it floods? We can always come back if it's not that bad. And the day we tried to leave, we packed our bags and we drove to the edge of Kingwood, about to get on Highway 59, and we couldn't get out because the roads were flooded already at that point, before our area flooded. So the day before, we were already thinking, if it gets worse, they're saying it could get worse, why don't we try to go to friends in Austin or friends in Dallas? We ended up having to go back and saying, well... At this point, you know, all the officials were saying shelter in place. So that's what we decided to do. But in terms of what we packed, we really couldn't take much. So we had our hurricane supplies. You know, we had all the extra days of food and water, and you can't really take that with you in a backpack. So we ended up packing just all the toiletries we could, medications, my daughter's EpiPens because she's, you know, has two food allergies, just really a towel. Just things that we knew we would need overnight, you know,
wow.
just like an emergency
yeah.
overnight pack, because you're on a Coast
yeah.
Guard raft. You can't really bring too much stuff. So
oh,
it was pretty crazy.
Oh, man. I was following you yesterday on Facebook a little bit, you know, and you were doing a live Facebook thing. And then there was one point, I think it was just a post, I'm not sure now, but where you were, I could just see you because you're the social media, you know, queen.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just see you in the middle
yeah.
of this, in the eye of the storm. You were posting about the fact that you were on a boat or something and people didn't quite know which way to go, that there was some confusion,
yeah.
right, that you said in your journey
yes.
on the boat or something. That talk about that. What was going on there?
Yes. So thankfully, when we left the Coast Guard, and it was all confusing. Thankfully, they knew. They just needed to take us out of our street that was already just
mm-hmm.
they were trying to get people out as fast as they could, but it's a little boat, so you can't really go that fast. So we
yeah.
Were literally just asking at each point in the journey, what do we do next? What do we do next?
Yeah.
And asking our neighbors, because of course, you know, at that point you're kind of running into your neighbors because everybody's evacuating. What are you guys
yeah.
gonna do? Well, we don't know yet. You know, what are you guys gonna do? We don't know yet. So everybody was just trying to figure out, let's get out first. So there was a degree of confusion because nobody knew what we were supposed to do next. There's no
yeah.
plan. You know, there's no like, well, here's step one, step two, step three. It's just get
yeah.
out, survive, and keep going until you get to dry land. And then once we got to this area where all the pickup trucks were kind of rolling around, picking people up and taking them to the shelters, we said, well, we either wait to see if we can hear from our friends that ended up, being able to pick us up, or we can just go to a shelter and then ask the question again, you know, what do we do next? It's been an adventure for sure.
Wow. Now, have you been told, you know, when you can go back to your area, to your neighborhood yet? Anything?
Not yet.
No?
Yeah, our apartment complex was very close to an area that had flooded before. We just had never imagined. So when we left, we actually saw pictures of the area that showed pretty much all of the first floor anythings, first floor offices, first floor apartments, restaurants, everything was underwater up to the first floor. And this is for a pretty widespread area. I mean, you
yeah.
see this stuff on TV and you're like, oh, that's poor Houston. And I'm looking at it like, oh my gosh, that's my neighborhood. You know, like what in the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's surreal. So, thankfully our, family has been so gracious to take care of us, but we have heard nothing in terms of our family and friends. But we've heard nothing from
yeah.
the Harbor Cove apartment complex because the whole entire office is underwater. So I don't even know when we're going to hear anything from them. We did hear from coworkers. I don't know if you guys know that I work at a Christian radio station here in Houston.
Yeah.
And you might hear some kids
great.
In the background. They just came in.
That's great.
We have neighborhood kids. You know what? That's the thing about storms. People get together. So we have kids playing in the backyard. And right now I didn't mention that on the Coast Guard boat. Oh, careful with the little guy. We ended up bringing our guinea pig because we couldn't bear to leave him.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
So we did have every person had a backpack. We had one first aid kit and our little guinea pig in his little travel bag.
Wow.
So the kids are playing with a guinea pig. But we don't know when we're going to be able to go back. It seems like the estimates, depending on different parts of town, they're saying weeks to months waiting for the
really?
Waters to recede.
Before
yeah,
you can
weeks
go back.
To months. Before we can
wow.
even go back. So at this point, we're really trying to figure out, do we move into a hotel, which we understand is a possibility that FEMA might cover up to 4 weeks of that if your family, you know, qualifies for assistance, which we don't know yet. We have the kids waiting to start school. So my daughter was going to second grade and my son was starting middle school that we really don't know. Houston Independent School District is unknown at this point when they'll start. The district that we are in, because we're towards the northeast of Houston, we're in the Humble District, that has a start date of Tuesday as far as we know. It hasn't been changed. And we're trying to figure out, what do we do? Because the kids don't have any of the school supplies. They're home and hopefully not underwater.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, taking it one day at a time.
Wow. And then are you being asked to work or report in or anything job-wise, or are they letting you kind of just hang out until you get back.
It's been amazing with the coworkers. They actually set up the radio station's KSBJ, so there's an internal staff Facebook group where they've been able to report whose house is flooded, because we're talking program directors for two stations got evacuated. One evacuated, the other one, his house flooded, and I think they were evacuating today. The one that got evacuated, we were actually neighbors. They ended up on CBS News.
Wow.
Their rescue was like national news. So the cutest family ever. But he is right now staying at a coworker's house, and there's a lot of coworkers that are in the same condition. So thank God for this Christian radio ministry. They have been incredibly gracious in terms of checking in, just make sure you're safe, your family is safe. The head of human resources sent out an email, and they were like, hey, everybody, just hold on to yourselves, you know, like, we will touch base next week and send out an email to reassess where is everybody. And apparently there were some issues with the transmitters as well. So even if we could go back to work, we were limited in terms of what we were able to do.
Yeah. Wow. Coppelia is joining us from Houston, and it's so good to hear that you're okay and
thank you.
Are all right. And,
we're very thankful,
That's the first thing we think about, you know, when you know somebody there is, oh my gosh, you know, are they okay? Because we were talking about some of the stories we've read of, you know, of kids being hanging on to, you know, the corpse of their mom floating, right? I mean, stuff like that's going on.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
Horrendous.
So you
horrendous.
Immediately mm-hmm. think about people that we know and love, and we know and love you and Adam and the kids. And well, thank you for taking some time. I know it's a lot going on, and we've got to
God
get
bless
going.
You.
But thank you so much, and we'll be praying for you. We mean that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. God bless. Take
care.
Yeah,
no, you guys have been amazing. Thank you. I mean, we are feeling the prayers and support and people texting saying, what can we do to help? You know, I have a cousin that started a GoFundMe page to see if they can help financially. I mean, the help has been amazing. And I told her, you know, we don't know what we're going to need when, but it means a lot to know that there's so many people that are looking at Houston, sending help and asking what they can do. So, Randy, you know, we love you and Monica, too, and it means a lot that you guys reached out.
All right. God bless you.
You.
And we'll be in touch.
Sounds
Take
great.
Care. Okay.
Thanks. You
Bye-bye.
Guys too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Coppelia
Acevedo,
with us and just reporting in from Houston live. And wow. Wowie kazowie. I love
She's got
you know,
such
her
a great,
personality.
Great, great upbeat personality. Absolutely. Yeah. In a time like this, it's just like, wow.
It's an adventure, man. I love that she can kind of bring the humor into it, and it was very, very cool. So thanks again to Coppelia for that, and continue to pray for them and for others as well, and, you know, in Houston for sure. Well, that's a wrap, Natalie. This was live from Houston today.
Wow. It's definitely, it seems like, I can understand where it's all a blur, you know, it's going to be just like, it's almost like watching something in still motion, you know, and you go, whoa, and then it's got to come down and it's going to,
like she said, it's surreal, like a movie, right? It's
very
like a movie
surreal.
Set.
Oh, there's going to be so much help needed. And you mentioned convoyofhope.org to go ahead and donate there, donate everywhere. I mean, people, they're going to need the help. This is going to be a long-term situation. And I just pray that more and more people are rescued and people are found and that got out, you know, because you imagine 86-year-old trying to get out of her house without help. I mean, you know, I just, oof, gives me the chills. And I just, Houston, I'll tell you, I mean, Texas, I'll tell you, they really are a role model for the rest of us. And there's Houston, I know, surrounding states and with people helping people all the time. Wow, Randy, I guess I'll see you, talk to you next week. And, hopefully we'll have a lot more. Hopefully people will be moving forward by next week and the storms have ended. And that's like a lot of things they talk about, you know, when there's a funeral, everybody helps out at the funeral and then people, their lives go on and that's when they really need help, right? And I think this is the same. Yeah. We just don't, let's not forget and keep going and keep trying to do all the help we can. Whew. So... gives me the chills.
All right. Good show. And good. Thanks again to Coppelia.
Thank you.
Thanks to Deborah Wittig as well.
Deborah.
Yeah.
Thank you, and thank you to you, Randy. You're amazing. You and Monica are just God-sent, and love you all. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.